Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. In less than a month, American-born Chinese has evolved from graphic novels to Disney Plus new series sensation. ABC creator and executive producer Gene Luen Yang joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, the passing of Pat Robertson, the departure of Chime TV's first leader, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, soundcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Zencaster, Apple and Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you for joining us on this special late Thursday afternoon edition of the program all about TV's current and future. 71 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Outside, it is a far better sky than what it was the last 48 hours. No orange here, nice and white, and a little bit on the cloudy side, so we're getting those whatever air quality particles out of the way from those Canadian wildfires up north. We should point out that at this hour, it is 71 degrees. Also, we want to point out that the air quality alert here in the New York metro area is still on for another couple of hours. It's supposed to be lifted by 11 o'clock tonight, local time, and there will be showers tomorrow, not only in our area, but throughout the Northeast, that will hopefully get the whole situation that we have been dealing with over the last 48 hours or so away, hopefully for good. We are delighted that you, and especially you are with us. We have a great guest coming away in a moment, and we want you to be in the action. How do you do that? You interact with our guests by phone or chat room. When it comes to the phone, you just pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And then there is our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it right now at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we're interacting with you. And while the program is on the air, you can interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Stream, and other people live with you. And we will interact live with the creator and executive producer of American-born Chinese, Gene Luen Yang, from Santa Fe, California, after these news notes. Pat Robertson, the innovative and controversial evangelist and religious television organizer, passed away this morning at the age of 93. In 1966, Robertson launched the 700 Club, a daily talk variety two-hour program that became the flagship series of the Christian Broadcasting Network, which was carried by independent television stations. CBN Cable Network, a separate 24/7 service running commercial-free to cable operators in the late 1970s, evolved over the decades to the Family Channel with ad support. Walt Disney currently originates and operates the network as Freeform, still running the 700 Club on a daily basis in an hour format, hosted by son Gordon Robertson. 1988, Pat Robertson ran for the Republican presidential nomination, coming in second place at the Iowa caucuses, then running out or dropping out after poor primary results elsewhere. Robertson expired at his home in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The cause of death was not released. I'll have more on Pat Robertson's impact on the TV landscape after the top of the hour. A second top NBC Universal executive is making departure plans following last month's exit of ad sales topper Linda Yaccarino. NBC Sports overseer Pete Bebecois, in that role since 2020, will head out by the end of the month to become athletic director of Notre Dame University. Former NBC Sports executive Mark Lazarus is expected to take Bebecois' duties on an interim basis while supervising NBC Universal's TV services. Yaccarino started her new role as chief executive of Twitter last week. And no reaction yet from Amazon on reports in various media yesterday that an ad-supported version of Prime Video will debut in the near future. Amazon already has an ad-supported mega-content service and multi-channel bundle running with Freevee. Some Prime Video series will get a second run on Freevee starting this summer. And I'll have news no quickies after the top of the hour. And now joining us live from Santa Fe, California, in an internet radio exclusive, the creator and executive producer of the new Disney Plus sensation, American-born Chinese, Gene Luen Yang. Gene, congratulations. Happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Simon. Thank you for having me on.
What's it been like over the last month seeing your graphic novel come on the small screen and making it big?
I've used this word a lot when talking about this. It has been incredibly surreal. I finished the graphic novel in 2005, 2006, so it's been, you know, almost 20 years. Since I drew those panels, and to see some of them come to life on a screen, especially on a platform like Disney Plus, it's been beyond a dream come true.
And getting it from the green light at Disney Plus to right now getting on Disney Plus has been a journey into itself. It's been almost a 2-year journey. I believe Disney Plus gave the green light to the series in October of 2021.
That's right. We were right in the middle of pandemic. It felt like everything was really hopeless, but then this particular project, at least in my life, was a real source of hope. And we just had, you know, one piece of good news after another as the project went on. We first heard that Dustin Cretton, the director of Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, signed on. And then with him came Michelle Yeoh, you know, one of our most legendary actresses who is working in Hollywood today. She signed on to play the Goddess of Mercy. And then we also got Ke-Huy Quan on as well. He probably has the most difficult role in the entire series, and he just absolutely killed it.
Did you think going in that you were going to have in your cast three people, two of them won the Academy Award this year for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, namely Michelle Yeoh and Ke-Huy Quan, and Stephanie Zhu, or Hu, who was nominated for Best Supporting Actress?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really, it began through relationships. I think Dustin had a great relationship with Michelle. One of our other executive producers, Melvin Marr, had a relationship with Ke-Huy Quan. And then eventually, I believe it was either Dustin or Michelle that brought Stephanie in. So it was a network of relationships. And I think in a lot of ways, this show felt like a gathering of family. I think that shows up on screen as well. You know, we had such a great time making this show. And I think a lot of the fun that we were all having shows up on the screen.
And speaking of that, it really is a very surreal show. It is a very fun show that combines a teenager's life in and out of home with the mythical gods that he accidentally encounters.
Yeah, the story is really rooted in my own experience as an Asian American. So I'm the son of immigrants. My mom was born in mainland China, my dad in Taiwan. And growing up, a lot of times I felt like I was caught in between worlds. You know, I at school, I would speak English. At home, I would speak Chinese. I had an English name at school, a Chinese name at home. I lived under these two different sets of cultural expectations. So often when I walked home from school, it felt like I was crossing from one world into the other. And what we're trying to do with the show is just take that simple idea and kind of play it out on a big screen using big stakes. You know, so the worlds that are represented on the show are this really mundane world that takes place in an American home and in an American high school, and then this other fantastical world, which is the world of Chinese gods, the world of Chinese mythology.
When did you first think, I want to turn this graphic novel into a television series, whether live action or animated?
Well, I have had a media agent since the very beginning, since the book was published in 2006. But I think there was both external and internal resistance to adapting it for the screen. First, externally, there just wasn't that much interest in a story with a predominantly Asian cast for a very long time, until fairly recently. You know, there was some talk very early on about maybe adapting it into an animated feature or an animated series, because then you could have big-name non-Asian actors play some of the characters. I think nowadays that would not fly, right? It just shows how much things have progressed since the book came out. So that was external pressure. And then on the internal side, I deal with some pretty sensitive topics in the graphic novel. I deal with racism. I deal with the stereotypes, especially the stereotypes of Asians and Asian Americans that I grew up with. And I was always worried about how those parts of the book would show up on the screen. I was worried that specifically there's this one character in the book that is like a walking, talking stereotype. And he's like that on purpose. He's my way of talking about those issues. But I was worried if that character ever made his way onto the screen, YouTube clips of him would show up on the internet, completely decontextualized, and it would kind of undo what I was trying to do with the book.
Mm-hmm. And how did it get to Disney? I understand that that for a while, growing up, you were so enamored of Disney and all the Disney shows and movies you saw that you had like what somewhere on your being you had something either something Mickey Mouse or something Disney at any time.
That's right. I was a huge Disney fan when I was a kid. I remember in third grade our teacher made us do biography reports on famous people. So I chose to do Walt Disney, and after that I got kind of obsessed with him. I even bought a poster-sized headshot of Walt Disney. I hung it over my bed in my childhood bedroom. And my friends would come over and they'd see this poster and they'd be like, why do you have this picture of a creepy old man in your bedroom? And I have to tell them, that's not any old creepy old man. That's Walt Disney. So I really wanted to be a Disney animator, you know. I think Disney, for me, especially when I was a kid, it felt like Disney symbolized the best of what we could be. You know, Disney, I think, is a keeper of American mythology. And, of course, there have been missteps through the history of Disney. But if you look at the history of Disney, you'll see that we are progressing in a hopeful way. Like it's all about kind of presenting the best parts of who we are. So to be included now in that, to have my story included in that legacy, it's just been really amazing. It's been absolutely amazing.
Our special guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, Gene Moon Yang. He is the creator and the executive producer, one of the key executive producers of American Born Chinese. It's Disney Plus's new live-action series sensation. Disney Plus, of course, available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles, and in some cases, for your local cable operator. Gene joins us live from Santa Fe, California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom and I'm with you live from New York, 71 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Big two-hour episode wrapping up the week tomorrow at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific. It'll all kick off with the chief executive of a very interesting venture called StreamFire that helps get new, unique channels off the ground on smart TV sets, devices, and bundles. And one of those channels has already made it big on Roku. It's called Duck Hunting Television. I kid you not, this is an actual channel, and it is right now the number one channel of its genre, hunting, on Roku. The person we'll talk to is Nicholas Trenker. He is the chief executive officer of StreamFire. He's in our first half hour. And then earlier today, we had the premiere of Peacock, based on a true story, the might say thriller comedy, starring Kaley Cuoco of The Fry Attendant and Big Bang Theory fame. We will have executive producer and director Alex Buono on the program, and she will be in our second half hour. And then we'll talk about the new network aimed at African Americans and the rest of us, Stellar TV, which had the Black Music Honors Award show on their service this past Saturday. Executive Vice President Jennifer Jackson from Stellar and its parent company, Central City Productions, will be on board and open our second hour. And finally, from the brand new Hulu made-for-TV movie Jagged Mind, which will be shown at the American Black Film Festival in Miami before coming on Hulu June 15th, we will have producer Jenna Cavell and director Kelly Kali. Big group of folks coming your way. That's tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Gee, what was it like to get the kind of talent you had for this project, both in front of the camera and behind the camera?
It was really incredible. You know, as a cartoonist, I especially appreciated getting to know Kelvin Yu, the showrunner. He's a stellar talent, both as a writer and as an actor. So as an actor, he had a very prominent role on Master of None, that Aziz Ansari show. He was also in the second Wonder Woman movie. And then as a writer, he cut his teeth on Bob's Burgers. So he has a real deep understanding of the entire television show making process, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. I also think he really drew on his own experience as an Asian American in Hollywood to tell the story that's told in American Born Chinese, the television series. So Ki-Hui Kwan, you know, the legend, or the legendary actor who recently won an Oscar award, his character is sort of a direct reflection on the Asian American experience within the American entertainment industry. To write that character, Kelvin drew deeply on his own experiences. So that was a real thrill. And then I got to visit the set every couple of weeks while they were filming. There are lots of fun incidents that happen during my set visits. For example, this one time I walk on set and Ronnie Chang, the stand-up comedian, was standing right there. I asked for a selfie, and we were about to take the selfie, and he was like, "This is not interesting enough." So he made us climb into this golf cart, and he had his shirt off, and we took the selfie. And it's one of the weirdest photos in my photo collection. It's one of my favorite memories from my set visits.
And also, staying with Kevin for a second, what was it like for him to fuse his work in animation with his work in live action in terms of the idea he had to adapt your work?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily animation. It's Bob's Burgers specifically. Like, anybody who's a fan of that show knows that the heart of that series, like, it's really funny, and they have, like, a lot of, like, goofy butt jokes and that sort of thing. But the heart of the show is really about this family, and it's the love that's shared by this family. You know, it's the love that defines this family. And I think that's what he brought into American Born Chinese. So in the book, the main character's parents are barely in it. I think they show up in maybe one or two pages. But in the show, I think Kelvin drew on his own family experience, being both a son and a father, and all of that experience working with the Bob's Burgers family. And he kind of infuses the family of the main character in American Born Chinese with this real humanity. A lot of times the parents are talking in Mandarin, you know, and what I've heard from non-Mandarin speakers is even when you're reading subtitles, even when you don't necessarily understand what they're saying, you can sense their humanity as they're dealing with each other. All of that, I think, is rooted in Kelvin.
When you deep dive into the cast, it is really amazing the breadth of experiences they've had. We talked about Michelle Yeoh and about Kieran Wan and about Stephanie Hsu, but also you have an international, two-time International Emmy Award nominee in
Yin Yan
Yen. You have a Taekwondo champion. You've got some other sports folks. The background of all these actors together is quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Our main character is played by Ben Huang, who is amazing. He is, I mean, he's 25, but he does look younger than 25. And the nuance that he's been able to convey through his performance is just, it'll grab you. As soon as you see him on the screen, it'll grab you. The other breakout star in the show, I think, is Jimmy Liu, who we found in Taiwan. He is a Taekwondo champion. He told us that the very first time we met him over Zoom. And I have to say, like, when we looked for him, what we were looking for was two things. We wanted to find a kid that was a little bit doofy, that seemed like, it seemed like he had a goofy side to him. And we also wanted a kid who could be believable as a Chinese monkey god, you know, as somebody who could really fight. But what we ended up with was this kid who was both of those things, but is also emerging as a teen idol on TikTok. There are all these TikTok videos now of Jimmy Liu and of his character, Sun Wei Chen. And there are many, many young people who are expressing their admiration for Jimmy Liu and Sun Wei Chen on TikTok. It's been really surprising to see.
And by the way, Ben Wang was also in the Disney Plus movie Chan Can Dunk, which got
great
reviews too. So he is on a big role of his own with Disney Plus.
Yeah, he's an incredible talent. He really is an incredible talent. I think what I like most about him is, what I find most compelling about him as an actor is he's able to show you the insecurity that we all felt going through adolescence, but he's able to make it incredibly compelling. Like, you just can't take your eyes off of his performance because he brings you back to all these feelings that you yourself went through, you know, when you were his age, or at least when you were the age of the character that he's playing.
When you were working with the cast, as well as with Kelvin and his production team, what directions were you encouraging them to go in their characters, in the way the episodes were filmed, in the tone of the storylines?
Well, I have to say that, you know, television is a much more collaborative medium than comics and graphic novels. So I come from a storytelling medium where a single person can be in charge of everything, all of the writing, all of the drawing, sometimes even all of the bookmaking. So going into television, it was an adjustment to have all of these folks to work with. But really, it was about trust. I think from my perspective, it was about trust. It was about identifying the right people to work with and just trusting them to move forward in the right way. And I think that trust paid off for me. Like, the show is very different from the book, but I do think it captures something of the heart of what the book is all about. The book, the spine of the book is, it's a story about a young man who is not comfortable with himself, and he's specifically not comfortable with his own cultural identity, his own ethnic heritage, right? And he becomes friends with this kid that kind of symbolizes all of the stuff that he's embarrassed about. And the story is about how he reconciles with himself through the friendship with this kid. And this kid just happens to be the son of a very famous Chinese monkey god. That spine is in both the book and in the television series. And I think the underlying heart and the humor, all of it is there in both forms of the story.
American-born Chinese. You can find it now on Disney+. Available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, multi-channel bundles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we have the creator and executive producer of the program, Gene Gung Yang. He is with us live from Santa Fe, California this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have a question or comment for our remaining moments with Gene, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New Haven, New York, 70 degrees, coming near the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. And coming up on Monday, we are leading off with a very, very special interview. We're going to dive deep into what may be one of the most important stories of this year in the world of television, and that is the rollout of Telly, the advanced smart television set that's being offered free, that's right, free, to 500,000 people this summer. And there is a catch involved. We'll have an exclusive interview with the Chief Strategy Officer at Telly, Dallas Lawrence. We'll get into the smart TV apps. We'll get into what subscribers have to do to get the set free. We'll find out if, in fact, they have the technical capability that if these 500,000 household, 500,000 viewers enjoy Telly, they're saying they'll make millions more television sets and make them available free as early as next year. Can they do that? And what about all the interactive services that they're offering, like video chat and video games, and maybe, maybe the ability to do sports betting? We will talk to Dallas Lawrence all about that. That's first thing Monday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusive interview right here about Telly on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Gene, what is it like for you to witness this incredible explosion the last couple of years of Asian American television talent, both in front of and behind the camera? We're seeing more Asian American people producing, creating, writing, and directing television, whether live action or animated, scripted, unscripted. And we're seeing all this incredible blossoming of Asian American talent. It's like this new generation that's exploding on the scene.
It's been really gratifying to see. You know, it's something that we all know. We all knew for a very long time. Asian Americans, we all knew that we had the talent in our community. But for the wider world to discover that now has been very, very gratifying. I mean, in a lot of ways, the strides that our community has made over the last several years in the stories that are told by American culture have been, like, the amount of progress was something that I probably couldn't have imagined when I was a younger man. At the same time, though, you know, I think it's going both ways. In some ways, especially on the screen, we are making more progress than I was ever expecting. But then in other ways, you know, when we read news stories about the violence that's being perpetrated against, especially the elders of our community, it feels like we're falling backwards in time. So I think the 2020s has been a very strange decade so far for Asian Americans. It's been kind of a two-way street. You know, in some ways, we're moving forward faster than we ever thought possible. In other ways, we're falling backwards in time.
What was it like working with Michelle Yeoh, who has now become one of the busiest people on both screens, movie and television? Television, she did The Witcher recently, The Witcher sequel series. She is doing another series for Netflix. She did American Born Chinese. She's going to do the reprise her character from Star Trek Discovery in the Section 31 movie on Paramount Plus. It is an incredible, like, new phase of her talent and her career.
Yeah. She's incredible, right? She's absolutely incredible. On the show, on American Born Chinese, she plays Guan Ying, who is the Chinese goddess of mercy. And I think those are the two things. Like, she's the goddess of compassion, right? And when you – like, the very first time I walked onto a set and she was standing there, she kind of looked like a goddess. She wasn't even in costume, and she just had a gravitas to her. She had a weight to her presence. But then when you talk to her, that's when the compassion part kicks in, when you realize, I mean, she's like everybody's favorite auntie. You know, she when she's talking to you, she is completely focused on you. You have her entire attention. And I think for somebody of that level to be able to do that, it just speaks volumes to who she is as a human being.
Mm-hmm. Do you hope that there will be a second season? And if so, how would you like to see it go? And obviously, we have to see what the writers, you know, how the writers' strike lasts and where we go from there with it. And we all hope that the writers and the producers will get back to that bargaining table as fast as possible. Now that the Directors Guild contract, which is now in the process of being ratified, at least on the big issue of AI, artificial intelligence, may have opened the door for something to happen. What would you like to see happen? Would you like to see a second season? And if so, which direction would you like to see it go, or what directions would you like to see it go in?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I would love to see a second season. I mean, I think the way that Kelvin and his writers room structured the world, they made a world that is supportive of an open-ended number of stories. I think there are lots and lots of different stories to tell. Specifically, I would love for us to be able to explore that relationship, that friendship between Jin and Wei Chen, between this Asian American kid and his Asian best friend. I'd love to take that out for one or more seasons.
Mm-hmm. With all the viewer reaction, I'm sure you and everybody involved in the series is getting, what stands out for you the most? What do you find the most gratifying viewer reaction so far?
I love hearing from folks that they can identify with the emotions of our main character. You know, what the show is about is dealing with this feeling of being an outsider. And I think that doesn't just apply to Asian Americans or even immigrants' kids. I think that applies to all of us. So when I hear from folks, especially from folks of other cultural backgrounds, that the emotions of the show resonate with them, I feel like that's exactly why we chose to tell the story.
And before you go, Gene, are there other graphic novels or projects like that you've done that you would like to see adapted to television? And is this experience also encouraging you to do, let's say, an original show for television?
Yeah, so I am a cartoonist through and through. I do love the medium of comic books. You know, getting to dive into televisions has been incredibly fun, but comics are in my blood. And I do have other graphic novels. I have a graphic novel called Dragon Hoops, which is all about basketball. I'd love to see that on the screen someday. And I have another historical fiction graphic novel called Boxers and Saints. It'd be really fun to adapt that as well. But deep down inside, my heart is with comics.
Well, you know, there's a lot of interest now. A lot of different services, including Disney Plus, are looking at doing more adaptations of graphic novels, of comic books. Some people are looking at reviving TV series animation form. We're going to, a moment, break the news note quickie that Sony is looking at doing new animated versions of Bewitched and The Partridge Family. And they're even looking at doing a kids' version of Wheel of Fortune and Shark Tank and other game shows and unscripted shows in their library.
Wow, that all sounds so fun. That sounds great. I remember watching Bewitched as a kid. That'd be really fun to see an animated version of that.
I have a hunch that if Elizabeth Montgomery and all the folks involved in Bewitched were still around, I think they would like that idea. I would think that Screen Gems at the time, back in the 60s, because they were involved with Hanna-Barbera, who did the Flintstones, the Jetsons, that maybe, just maybe, Bewitched could do it. So maybe it's time. So we'll see how that story progresses. And more about that in our second half hour. Anyway, in the meantime, while you wait for the second season to get the green light from Disney+, what are you working on now?
Well, right now I'm actually doing my first rom-com graphic novel. It's called Lunar New Year Love Story. It's about these two kids growing up in Oakland, California. They're both lion dancers, and they fall in love. What we're playing with is like this this link between Valentine's Day and Lunar New Year. They're, like, Lunar New Year changes on the calendar, on the Western calendar, but more often than not, it's within a few days of Valentine's Day. So for Asian Americans, sometimes you're like celebrating both of these things at once, right? You're celebrating the new year of your parents' culture and then Valentine's Day, which is like this, you know, this like this American celebration of love. So we want, with our graphic novel, I'm working with this amazing artist named Lewin Pham. She won a Caldecott honor, and we want to bring those two holidays together with a graphic novel.
And there you go. American-born Chinese. Catch it now on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. And for more details about the service online, here's where you go: www.disneyplus.com. That's www.disneyplus.com. Not the plus sign; it's the plus word. www.disneyplus.com. American-born Chinese now playing on Disney Plus. Gene and Yang, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations to you and everybody involved in front of the camera and behind the camera for making your graphic novel come to life in such a great way. And congrats on the great reviews for it. Hopefully it's the beginning of a wonderful long run. And when your next TV project comes along, we'd love to have you back. It has been a delight.
Thank you so much, Simon. It's been great to talk to you. Thank you.
Same here. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week and have a sensational weekend.
All right, you too. Have a great weekend.
Gene Lun Yang joining us live from Santa Fe, California this half hour on Tamarbi Televised. When we come back, News No Quickies, our classic trivia question of the week. We have an up segment about Chime TV. Why did their original leader depart? We have some answers and some further thoughts about the career of Pat Robertson. All ahead after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 85 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Eddie Rodriguez begins his Latin music journey tonight on Blog Talk Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's a brand new miniseries that takes Eddie Rodriguez on a wonderful journey into the fantastic world of Latin music. Check out episode 1 live tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's VTR coming your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Televised on a special late Thursday afternoon edition of June 2023. Simon Alvin with you live from New York, 71 degrees at the top of the hour. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. Yes, we are finally starting to get the crazy orange haze that the city has had over the last 48 hours away. We're expecting some showers tomorrow. And we hope that wherever you are, particularly in the Northeast, you're dealing with this as far as you can. For those of you in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Boston, et cetera, if you have to go out at any time late this afternoon or tonight, please wear a mask. Take time, extra time to get to where you're going. Make sure you check, by the way, because indoor as well as outdoor events have been impacted. I can tell you that because there was an indoor event I was scheduled to go to yesterday. And it turned out it was canceled because of the air quality alert. Here in New York, we hope that the air quality alert is going to be lifted by 11 o'clock tonight. And the weekend is looking great for up and down the East Coast. We have more to share with you, so stick around. And we still would love to have your questions and feedback. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Classic trivia question of the week. We have an update on Chime TV and why their leader has departed, at least according to various news reports that have surfaced so far this week, and more about Pat Robertson. But first, some News No Quickies. Here's a pair from Hulu. Secret Chef, David Chang's latest TV series, will start June 29th. Later this year, or early 2024, the service will offer a Vanderpump villa, and you guessed it, a Vanderpump Rules spinoff focused on Lisa V and her French villa. Special Ops Lioness, with Zoe Saldana, Nicole Kidman, and Morgan Freeman in the cast, debuts July 23rd on Paramount Plus. Another July, another Shark Fest from National Geographic. More than 70 hours of shark-centric content will play there starting July 2nd and run throughout the month, with simulcasts of some of the specials playing on Nat Geo Wild, Nat Geo Mundo, Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN Plus. Hack My Home starts its home renovation series run on Netflix July 7th. New CW drama series Sullivan's Crossing, which launched in Canadian television to big viewership earlier this year, is getting a second season ahead of the season one U.S. kickoff this fall. Long-running BYU television sketch comedy series Studio C picked up a two-season renewal this afternoon. The 200th episode will appear next spring. Will Chamberlain documentary miniseries Goliath will come to Showtime July 16th, 2 days after running on Paramount+. HBO special Rock Hudson, All That Heaven Allowed, reaches viewers June 28th. As I mentioned in our last half hour with our interview, Sony Pictures TV's Kids Unit is working on new toon versions of Bewitched and the Partridge Family, plus small fry adaptations of Wheel of Fortune, Shark Tank, and other game shows and unscripted shows in Sony's purview. And Univision branded merchandise is now on sale at John F. Kennedy International Airport Terminal 5 here in New York City. This is the 8th Airport stand that Univision partners with retailer and restaurant enterprise Paradidas Lagarde. And that is News Notes for today. In a moment, some thoughts on Pat Robertson and that special update on what is going on with Chime TV. But first, our classic trivia question of the week. Get those TV trivia caps on, because if you're first with the correct answer to this question, you win a bunch of prizes, including a Starbucks award card courtesy of the BBC, the new best-selling book, Sons of Baseball, Growing Up with a Major League Dad, powered by Roman Littlefield, and put together by former USA Network and Madison Square Network public relations person Mark Graff. We had him on the show several weeks ago. And other prizes as well, including the Canela Kids coloring book, Super Ellis, based on their hit new animated 2, which will be going into a second season, and accompanying crayons. Here is the question. Complete the title of this 2008 ABC series, I Survived Blank. Complete the title of this 2008 ABC series, I Survived Blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win all those prizes I mentioned. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. One more time, the question. Complete the title of this 2008 ABC series, I Survived Blank. And incidentally, if you want a hint about what that is, you can go to the brand new book, Reach, by another former guest of our show, Arthur Smith, the unscripted TV entrepreneur behind such shows as American Ninja Warrior, just started its latest season on NBC, and Gordon Ramsay's shows Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmare. The latter will be coming back this coming season on Fox. So, again, if you know the answer, don't wait. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. First one who gets the answer in wins. If you're a previous winner or a Tomorrow Be Televised guest, you are not eligible. So if you are eligible, get in there and win today, and all the very best. And before we go further, I want to let you know that we are back with a big two-hour episode of Tomorrow Be Televised tomorrow afternoon at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Joining us will be the Chief Executive Officer of Streamfire. It's a company that gets new TV services off the ground, including one of the most unique services we have ever covered, Duck Hunting Television. I kid you not. It's an actual channel, and in fact, according to Roku customers, it is their favorite channel in the area of hunting. Nicholas Tremler, or Trekler, he is the chief executive of the Streamfire, will be our opening guest. Then, from the brand new Peacock series that launched earlier today, based on a true story, the thriller com, co-starring Kaley Cuoco of The Big Bang Theory and The Flight Attendant's fame, executive producer director Alex Buono. That's our first hour. Second hour begins with Stellar TV and Central City Productions Executive Vice President Jennifer Jackson, and continues with the producer and director of the new Hulu made-for-TV movie, Jagged Mind, producer Jenna Cavell and director Kelly Kalee, and their movie will be premiering first at the American Black Film Festival in Miami before it goes on Hulu June 15th. That's all coming your way tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tawabi Televised. And coming up on Monday, another interview exclusive with the Chief Strategy Officer of the new advanced smart TV set, Telly, Dallas Lawrence. Telly is going to be offered to as many as 500,000 people for free this summer. If it works out, millions more sets will be made for free distribution to people perhaps like you next year. Dallas Lawrence, the Chief Strategy Officer of Telly, he will be with us live as our lead guest Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Back on Monday, we had an expanded up segment on Chime TV, the Asian American network that launched earlier this year on Charter Communications Spectrum cable systems across the country. We told you that shortly after our episode this past Friday, that an organization called Society One took over the management of that service. And Faith Batista, who was the creator and the chief executive of Chime TV, who was on our show last summer after the service was officially announced in a public event near Chinatown here in Manhattan last summer, she is now gone. Why? Well, according to, among other things, a story published this morning in Cable Facts Daily through an interview with the new head of Chime TV, media mogul Takashi Chang, who is chief creative officer, Batista had a problem. She is being sued by the National Asian American Coalition, which she was heading prior to and during her time at Chime TV. She has been given a lawsuit which accuses her specifically of embezzlement, embezzling funds from the coalition for whatever else. Incidentally, what Cheng said in this interview is that when he learned about Chime TV, he found that under Batista, the service was in big financial trouble. It had not gotten any other affiliates, either cable or smart TV sets, devices, bundles, etc., beyond Charter, and that it was already falling behind on payments to bills of all different types. And that's why Society One, under Chang, got involved in managing the service. Now, Batista's attorneys, according to the Cable Facts Daily story this morning and other reports that have come in so far this week, are all stating she's not guilty, she is innocent, she has not done anything wrong, she is incredibly supportive of Chime, she did her job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Batista herself has not done any commenting since the story broke earlier this week and since the Society One took over the channel late last Friday. Incidentally, we are talking to Society One about having their new head of the service, Tingxi Cheng, to join us sometime next week. And we hope maybe tomorrow when we do our two-hour episode to maybe have an update on when Cheng will join us. So anyway, that is the latest on the situation with Chime TV. And if you want to find the Cable Facts Daily story, go to cablefactsdaily.com. It's cablefactsdaily.com. It was their front page story in today's issue. At the top of the program, over a half hour ago, we told you the news that Pat Robertson, the founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, the founder of the 700 Club, the former Republican presidential candidate back in 1988, passed away earlier today at his home in Virginia Beach, Virginia, at the age of 93. Whatever you think of Pat Robertson, personally or religiously, one thing is extremely clear. He was an innovator. He was a transformer in how religious television happens. Before the Christian Broadcasting Network, and specifically the 700 Club, was put together, if you were evangelist on television, you pretty much had a format, which was you gave a sermon, you then gave the calling for people to come to Jesus Christ, and then if you wanted to have a Bible or a special literature, you had that offer, or you called into a prayer line. That was the way things went for programs like It Is Written with George Vandermeer, or Day of Discovery, or Ernest Angley, or Jerry Falwell, or Jimmy Swaggart, et cetera, evangelists that did their thing usually on Sunday mornings on local television stations and cable systems in the 60s and 70s. Pat Robertson transformed all that. He decided to take the approach of The Tonight Show by Johnny Carson, and before him Jack Parr, Steve Allen, et cetera, and make that a platform for Christian personalities to have a voice and evangelists like him to have a voice. And then in 1966, the 700 Club was born. He was not the original host. Jim Baker was. And when Pat Robertson fired Jim Baker for philosophical differences, Baker formed his own project, similar to the 700 Club, the PTL Club, the Praise the Lord Club. Then it became the PTL Television Network. And when Pat Robertson came along, there were many independent stations that did not carry religious programming. Or there were many, many religious organizations that decided, we're not going to run a television station. We're not going to program it. Well, that all changed with the Christian Broadcasting Network and Pat Robertson's 700 Club. It gave many cities around the country a 24/7 voice of religious programming for Catholics, for Christians, for other denominations as well. And then in the late 1970s, CBN later spun off a network, the CBN cable network, to cable operators, and it was originally commercial-free. Then, in the succeeding decades, it then turned into the Family Channel, which was, for a time, run by his son, Tim Robertson. Family Channel was one of the first efforts to do, like Nickelodeon, a channel aimed at kids and families that was with commercial interruption. Later, it became Fox Family Channel when it was owned by Fox. Then Walt Disney picked it up, and it then became ABC Family, and now Freeform. And yes, the 700 Club still runs in an hour format at different times on Freeform's schedule. Pat Robertson realized that the way to reach people was not just one format. The talk variety format could work. He certainly proved it. And he opened the door for a lot of other religious leaders to do their thing in television in a big way. He opened the door for other cable networks to be formed, like the PTL Television Network, which is now INST, formerly known as the Inspirational Channel, or Inspirational Network, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, which at a time owned cable systems and broadcast stations, and other such services. He really made it work. And when the talk variety format ran out, to his credit and that of his son, the 700 Club became a news magazine with its own news gathering operation, CBN News. And that's the way, and that is the way, by the way, that the service works. So religious television really opened up a voice. So Pat Robertson, along with people like Father Elwood Kaiser with his show Insight, the people behind dramatic programming like This Is the Life and the Answer, really changed the face of what religious television could be for people of faith, other people as well, too. So again, no matter what you think of Pat Robertson or his views, no matter what you think of his philosophy, religious and otherwise, again, you have to give him credit for really opening up the religious television world in some major ways, ways that are still being felt today. He opened up the door for people like Joel Osteen and people like people like Jerry Falwell and people like Charles Stanley and many, many others in terms of what you could do with the religious television format, whether it's a half hour, hour, et cetera, et cetera. So he gets the credit for that. And whatever else, we'll leave that up to you. Pat Robertson passed away today at the age of 93. Again, I want to thank our guest today, Jean Lun Yang from American Born Chinese, for being with us today. Again, you can find that program on Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. For more details, www.disneyplus.com. So thank Jean for coming on. Thank you for tuning in. We're happy to have you with us. Remember, if you are in an area that is dealing with the air quality alerts, in some cases, airports, other forms of transportation are on hold until the alert passes. We hope that if you have to go out, please take every precaution you can, including wearing a mask. Take extra time. If you can, use mass transit, subway, buses, et cetera. Get to where you're going. And we will get through this, like we have in other weather circumstances past. The latest news here in New York is that the air quality alert that was issued a day and a half ago, it will be lifted by 11 o'clock tonight. And also, we are supposed to get showers tomorrow so that this entire system that we've had to deal with over the last 72 hours, it will finally be out of here, hopefully for good. And we wish the people up in Canada well in controlling these Canadian wildfires that are spreading in Quebec and all over that country. We will be back with you tomorrow, and joining us then will be the Chief Executive Officer of Street Fire, Nicholas Trinkler. We will have Alex Buono, the Executive Producer Director of Peacock's new ThrillerCom, based on a true story that premiered earlier today, from Center City Productions and Stellar TV, Executive Vice President Jennifer Jackson, and from the new Hulu made-for-TV movie, Jagged Mind, premiering next week at the American Black Film Festival in Miami, then coming to Hulu on June 15th, producer Jenna Cavell and director Kelly Cowley. And next Monday, June 12th, our lead guest, the Chief Strategy Officer of the new smart TV venture, Kelly Dallas Lawrence. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up an episode, you make it so easy for you. Just go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcast versions of our program. You'll find them all over the place at everywhere from Zencaster to the Zencaster Creative Network, plus places like Podbean, Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, and many, many more. And you can also catch it at our homepage, at our special website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. tomorrowbetelevised.com, through the fine people at On Podium. We love what you have to say about the world of television and our guests and our topics, so email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, you can use it for our classic trivia question segment every time. You can also use it for our regular feature, A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? We'll give it the attention, and you have to let us know about it. So email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. If your suggestion is used on the air, you get the credit. And if you check out tomorrowbetelevised.com, remember, you can always use the question box to forward me a question about television, yours truly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If we use your question on the air and I answer it, you, of course, get the credit. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. It's Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. And one more thing. If you listen to this program and you're not able to listen to it live, you can still participate wherever you are. Just take down the phone number, 646-652-2906. And if you're somewhere with your smartphone, phone the number in. If you know what guests we have on with a question or comment, do it, and we'll get you on the air. Or you can get into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. That's at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So if you have a laptop or you have a smartphone or a tablet, get in that way, and we'll hear from you just like that. Very, very simple. So we make it so easy for you to get involved with our program, whether you hear us live or not. So we love hearing from you, and when we do, we respond back within 24 hours. That's our promise to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Bacon is our web coordinator. For tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Be back with you tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you're up to me now and then, please make it safe. And certainly here in the Northeast, with the air quality you're dealing with, please, more than ever, make it great. We will get through this together.